the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 15. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it's on page 683. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. And our subject this evening is spiritual slothfulness, or slothfulness when it comes to the needs of our soul and eternal issues and our relationship with God, our deliverance from sin and guilt, our preparedness for death. Are we slothful? Is that our attitude when it comes to these things? Now, you remember that Proverbs are parables. They use earthly pictures, but their ultimate meaning is to picture and to illustrate spiritual truth and spiritual issues. Of course, often they do have a very natural truth to them, as this one here. Slothfulness and idleness so often do literally lead to drowsiness in life and to poverty. We see that where people do not have motivation and a resolve to apply themselves either to their studies or to their career or work. Often it leads to exactly what is described here. Well, what is a slothful person? In earthly terms, someone who is work shy. They avoid anything that requires effort, exertion. They are keen to put everything off to another day. There's always a reason not to engage, not to do. They used to say, and it's probably still true, the difference between a good farmer and a bad farmer is about a week. The bad farmer does everything the same as the good farmer, but he's always putting things off, doing his ploughing, his planting, his harvesting, and everything else about a week behind where he should be. And it means his crops are poor. Well, that's perhaps an illustration familiar to some of us. But how many there are who prefer ease and rest? And often it leads to them being sleepy souls. I don't want to have a go at students because it's not true of all students. Far from it. Some are very diligent and studious and applied. But there are some who seem to want to get up at all kinds of silly hours. They're slothful and last-minute people. But of course, the picture here is a spiritual one. And there are many who are very diligent and industrious. They're go-getters when it comes to everyday life, to business, or to running their home. But when it comes to the issues of their soul and seeking God and their relationship with Him, then they are slothful. The slothful person is not necessarily rebellious against God, but they are indifferent when it comes to spiritual things. Think of the slothful person's prayer. It's dull. There's no urgency. Here is a person, he or she does pray, but not with any real sense of need, not with any violence when it comes to seeking the blessing of God and the mercy of God and the converting grace of God in their life. There are no real spiritual petitions that they lay siege to the throne of heaven, desiring them with great earnestness. There's little effort, little concern. You see, someone can be very earnest about their business and about their house, but when it comes to the prayer for their soul's requirings, they're slothful. And perhaps, if we're honest with ourselves, some of us are like that here this evening. Are we slothful when it comes to the calls of the call of the Word of God to resist sin and repent of our sin, to examine ourselves and to seek the Lord's help that we may be delivered from old sinful habits? Or do we just drift through life at ease, slothful when it comes to this issue? What about when it comes to applying to the Lord for the salvation of our souls? Do we pray? Do we recognize this need? Or we just say, let's leave it for some future time? Well, our verse before us tells us that slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Often, the more lazy we become in life, the greater our need for hours and hours of sleep. But what it means here, of course, is when it comes to spiritual things. Deep sleep can be refreshing, naturally speaking, but not when we are in danger. Remember Jonah asleep on the ship in the midst of a storm? He was shaken out of that deep sleep because there was a great need. There was an urgent hour. There was a danger of the ship sinking. When we sleep at such a time, then that's folly, isn't it? What about when there is an advancing army? To sleep in such a situation would be folly. But you know, when it comes to spiritual things, that is our predicament, our urgent need is as serious as the man on a sinking ship or the soldier asleep on the battlefield with an oncoming army. If our souls were to sink into hell this evening, how we would regret that we were spiritually drowsy. Do we realize that the law of God is like an oncoming army? It has an issue with us. It condemns us. It demands a sentence against our sinful life. It demands our arrest and ultimately our execution. Ought we not then to be earnest? Can we truly be content to be in a state of spiritual drowsiness or slothfulness? Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Well, of course, this is not addressing really physical sleep. What does it mean to be in a state of spiritual slumber? Let's think about the picture here for a moment. When a person is literally asleep, in a deep sleep, their senses are not functioning. At least they are not acute. And many people, that's their state in their soul. Their spiritual senses are sleeping. There's no awareness of their guilt. They do not hear the clarion call of the Word of God, calling them to repent of sin and flee to Christ and call upon Him for mercy. They do not see the state of their soul. They do not see the danger that they are in because they are spiritually asleep. A person who is asleep has no conscious thoughts. They have thoughts. Sometimes we have a deep sleep, don't we? And when we awake, we say, I had such a vivid dream. But it's not reality. Sometimes we're glad it isn't reality. Sometimes we wish the dream came true. But those thoughts that we have when we are in a deep sleep, they are imaginary thoughts. And many people are going through life in a deep sleep in exactly the same sense. Their view of life is imaginary. The thoughts that they have, they are not in the perspective of eternity. Often, they may be dreams and nothing more than a dream, really. When we come to the end of life and our souls are called to stand before God, then what will appear of our lives and all that we indulged in, all that we experienced, all that we hoped for? So many people in that hour will say, well, my life seems nothing more than a dream. And I missed the most important things of all. I missed the fact that I had a never-dying soul that needed that needed cleansing and forgiveness through Christ. I missed the preciousness of the Saviour. These things passed me by. I was, in a sense, asleep. All those thoughts I had, they were not really reality in comparison to what I see now as I stand before a holy God. A sleeping person is untroubled, unalarmed. They can be on that sinking ship. They can be in a house that is now on fire. But until they can be shaken out of that sleep, they're untroubled. Do these things speak to us this evening? Are we really one of such a person when it comes to our spiritual state and condition? We're not thinking. We're not engaged. We see no need of Christ. We have no sense of our solemn guilt before God. We're just drifting through life, almost in a dream world. You know, when we are slothful in life, things get more difficult by delay, don't they? You leave the weeds in your garden. The slothful person may say, I know that those weeds need pulling up. They need hoeing. I'll leave it just another week. And then I'll leave it another week. What happens? The weeds get deep tap roots. The ground begins to dry out. Then it takes all the more time. And the slothful person says, I'm just going to give up now. Things are too bad. What happens when a fire gets hold? It's much easier to deal with the sparks than a fire that's set into the deep and biggest timbers of a building. And so it is with the needs of our soul. If we neglect these things in our youth, then ultimately sins become deep-rooted. Our habits become ingrained. Life begins to get busier. Our attachment to the world and its pleasures gets stronger. And to break free from them becomes far more difficult. Slothfulness, even if one day we kick the habit of slothfulness, it will take its toll. The wisdom of this proverb says, never allow yourself to become spiritually slothful. There are more obstacles to overcome if we seek the Lord later in life. We may be married to someone who does not share our burden and our concern for our sin. It may be that we have habits of life and friendships and a career path that all will present challenges and discouragements to us when it comes to seeking the Lord and giving serious thought to eternal things. So what happens to the slothful person when he sees the challenge and the difficulty of applying himself? He puts these thoughts from his mind. That's in part what this proverb means. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep. It leads to a deep sleep. Initially, we can't be bothered. But then when we are reminded of what we ought to do, we put it out of mind. We don't even begin to think about it. You think of a person who perhaps used to pray, not very seriously, but they used to pray. They drew near to God. They read their Bible a little bit. But they did so in a slothful spirit. And eventually they gave these things up. And then they thought, I ought to renew those habits. But it presents a challenge. I've now got in my life sinful habits, friendships, social activities. If I continue with those social activities, my conscience will be troubled. And so we stop thinking. We go completely to sleep when it comes to the issues of our soul and eternity. We say, I don't want to think about these things. It causes me unease. It causes me trouble. We see it in the history of teenagers. Initially, they take the things of God perhaps a little seriously. They're willing to think about them, open to them. But they have an increasing carelessness toward them. And eventually, we turn our brain off. We stop thinking. We enter that period of deep sleep where we say, it's best I don't think about these things. Because every time I think about them, it troubles my conscience. It challenges certain things that I like doing in my life. You know, even though atheistic ideas don't really stack up, many people embrace them. There's no God. Experts tell us there's no God. People who seem to have made a real success of life, they proudly advertise the fact, I don't believe in God. And many other people say, it suits me to accept that philosophy of life. There's no God. I can just switch off that part of my conscience that tells me there is a God. No, there's not a God. I don't need to address these things. I go to sleep, as it were, spiritually. Well, those ideas don't stack up. And increasingly in our day, the whole discovery of DNA and the information that is packed into one single cell defies all atheistic logic. They used to think, even Darwin thought in the 1800s, that a cell was just a blob of matter. But it's now, without question, been demonstrated that it's a complex factory with vast amounts of information stored within it. Who put that information there? There is a God. And yet so many people are spiritually drowsy that they do not even when they're not even prepared to engage their mind and think about the implications of these things, the exquisite beauty that we see in the natural world, the beauty of the flowers and the birds and the agility of insects. These things bear witness to a mighty creator, but many people prefer not to face the reality the implications of those things, because it says there is a God. But slothfulness says, I don't want to face up to that fact. If there is a God, then it has serious implications for my life, for my attitude, for my plans, for the way that I live. It's best I don't think about it. And so they enter in to a deep sleep. Well, are you living in such a fantasy world this evening? Are any of us here spiritually in such a state? We've been slothful. We've been careless about the things of God. But now we've reached that point where we've almost turned off our thought life. We don't think about these things. We prefer not to. We're almost asleep. That's where these things lead, says the proverb. But it's a dangerous path. So what are the implications? I want to turn to those two New Testament passages that we read. Firstly, in Luke chapter 12, a well-known parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the rich farmer. And his ground brought forth plentifully. I don't think it's speculative to say that probably this man, when it came to his business, was no slouch. He was shrewd. He was prosperous. He or his employees, they had planted in a timely manner. They had harvested efficiently. He had this abundant harvest. When it came to those things, he was not slothful. But look at what we read here in verse 19. He says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. When it came to eternal things and his needs before God and the state of his soul, he was a slothful person. He didn't think about these things. He was so focused upon earthly things that he did his best to forget all about those things. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. He was in a deep sleep when it came to the great need he had before a holy God. What a rude awakening his soul had that night. God said to him, thou fool. And the word fool there, it means you haven't been thinking. Aphron, you haven't used your mind. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? And the Lord adds, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's a solemn thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Are we so focused upon the here and now that when it comes to God, we are asleep, in a deep sleep? We give no thought, no prayerful concern to these things. This parable is designed to stir us out of that sleep. But let's turn to our second passage, Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, or verse 11, sorry. The Apostle Paul here, he says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now the apostle is writing here to believers, to true Christians, and he's warning them against becoming complacent in their walk. But these words can be applied equally to someone who has never found the Lord, who is not yet a true Christian. It is time, says this verse, to awake out of sleep, spiritual sleep. Salvation is near. Christ is at hand. The opportunity for salvation presents itself. Why? Because Christ has died. He's risen from the dead. He has commissioned his church to proclaim his unsearchable riches and to sound as heralds that invitation of the gospel. Come unto me, and I will receive you. This is the call to our sinful souls. And the apostle, or the Lord really through the apostle, is saying to all of us this evening, especially those of us who've never sought the Lord and called upon him for mercy, now is the time. Look at verses 13 and 14. What does it mean here to call upon the Lord? Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. Perhaps you say, well, I'm not guilty of drunkenness. I'm not guilty of wanton, lustful, sexual sins. But look at what happens, what we read next. Not in strife and envying. We have to leave these sins. They belong to the old life. Look at verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Awake out of sleep, says the scripture. Seek the Lord. And then we are urged here, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, it implies that we stand before God guilty, condemned, our sins exposed to his view. But if we call upon Christ and we seek him by faith and trust in him, it is like putting on his perfect righteousness. Put it on, says the apostle, to be found at the end of life, clothed in the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. Such a soul is safe. But it means more than that. It means to put on Christ by imitation, saying, Lord, from now on, I want to be done with those old sins listed in the previous verse. I want to live in true obedience to Christ. I want my life, by thy grace, to be a reflection of his. I want to walk as he walked. I want, with thy help, Lord, to walk in thy ways, to follow him. Well, we must draw to a conclusion. The second part of our verse says, idleness leads to hunger. An idle soul shall suffer hunger. Well, that's true, isn't it? In a natural level. If a man doesn't work, said Paul, neither shall he eat. But the apostle is that the proverb here is thinking of a spiritual truth. Where we are idle when it comes to spiritual things, then ultimately we shall find ourselves hungering on that final day when we leave this world. We shall not have Christ as our Saviour. We will not have his righteousness put to our account. We will be before him destitute. Will you be found at the end of life without that deep satisfaction of knowing that Christ is your Lord, your Saviour, your friend, that he will vouch for you, that he will plead his perfect righteousness on your behalf, that he will plead his death at Calvary as a covering for your sin and mine? Do you hunger for these things? Do you say, I long to know that the Lord has put the righteousness of Christ to my account? Do you hunger for the grace of God that you would be able, even now, to overcome sinful habits and walk in his ways? Then don't be idle. Christ must save you. I'm not suggesting we can save ourselves. The Lord must save. But he saves those that seek him and those that call upon him. He doesn't save the slothful and those who drift through life careless of these things. He saves those who seek him with great earnestness in prayer and say, "Oh Lord, I no longer want to drift. I no longer want to be what I've been up to this point in my life. I want to be a new person. I want to know thy help and thy touch and thy blessing upon my soul." Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. They are a word of warning, and yet they are a word to direct us to seek the Lord more earnestly. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank thee even for these words that picture the great tragedy of being spiritually slothful. Grant that none of us may go through life with such carelessness and indolence. Rather, Lord, make us earnest. Make us burdened for our sin. Give to us a deep desire to be pardoned and forgiven. Show us the Saviour. Give us faith in him. And may we know that lasting satisfaction that we are one with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he will speak for us before thy throne. We ask in his name. Amen.